Just turn to an ASMR podcast.
Oh, do you guys have anything else, or should we just shuffle towards reboots?
To you about Doogie Howser. What? Is it time for reboots? I think it might be time.
I think it's time for reboots.
Let's do a reboot.
That's a quick pivot.
What are you doing?
ASMR.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates within Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Fell Grey, hot.
Hello and welcome to the Incomplete series. This is a podcast where we watch the first episode of a TV series and then the last episode of that TV series and just try and figure out why that show exists and, you know, talk about those episodes. Joining me to do this is my good friend Jeremy Wiseman. Jerome, how are you?
Very well, very well.
Good, good to see you.
I don't know if you noticed, I've toned down on the heckling.
With Morgan cutting back on his intro, you've cut back on yours as well.
Yeah, new year, new me.
Exactly.
There's less to pick apart when Morgan sort of reduces just to the brass tacks.
Mm. Yeah.
Just the bare essentials.
You can't criticize what isn't there.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly.
Scott. I'm just all about efficiency.
See, Scott
now.
Gets it.
Yeah.
Scott gets it, Morgs. I don't know why he wasn't leading this show from the start, but I don't know. I know. Scott's steady hand. We could have been the Joe Rogan podcast 2.0.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. This is our new intro. Welcome.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Scott. Wow, that's way better.
Yeah,
I like it.
I mean, they've already downloaded the show. You don't need to explain it to them.
I suppose.
All right, Doogie Howser, what do we think?
Man, this is all throwing me off.
Didn't like it.
All right, that's a wrap.
All right, good. All right, well thanks. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Jez. And thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Okay, but anyway, Aaron, how are you?
I'm great, Morgan.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Scott, good to see you.
It's good to see you and everybody else.
Ah, okay, just got a little swipe at Aaron.
No, I don't know.
For not welcoming everyone else and me as well. You think you're better than us, Scott?
All right. I take what I said about this being less confrontational.
Yeah, now it's getting more. It was just subtle undermining of each other.
I take back what I said about you being a steadier captain than Morgan. I'm back on Team Morgan.
Thank you.
Can we just talk about teenage Neil Patrick Harris?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Right. We will. Right, we will.
It's on the agenda.
Internal politics of the show first.
No, you've got to let this
play out. See, if. You need to get back to heckling me. With the
I
whole system's
because otherwise
thrown
I'm
out.
Just I'm heckling everyone.
Yeah, exactly. You just need to focus get out of the way at me.
Yeah, I've just got spray fire.
Realistically, I shortened the intro so you could heckle me for longer. That was what I was thinking.
All right, sort of. It's just mellow me out for the rest of the episode.
It's the natural order of things, but clearly I should have said something because it's thrown you off completely.
I'm just in all
over the place. It's just a nightmare. Anyway, so we did Doogie Howser, another one we've sort of been circling for a little while.
Mm.
See what I did there? I've recycled the same thing I've used previously. Anyway, so we've talked about doing this for a while, and I'm really glad we did.
Have we?
In our sabbaticals over summer, I think it's all we talked about.
Yep.
When I was out in the mountains, in my journal, I wrote about it every day.
Mm. Much like Doogie
journal.
Howser types in his journal.
Exactly.
September 21st. Today is my 16th birthday.
On the world's first word processing program.
1989, what
just
a year.
Writing code in MS-DOS.
I'm really glad we did this. What did you guys know about Doogie Howser going in? I knew, apart from
I knew
the basic premise, that was it. Sorry.
I knew it was what Neil Patrick Harris was famous for, because everyone sort of referred to, when he was probably at his peak, on How I Met Your Mother, everyone was like, "Oh, it's the guy from Doogie Howser." But I had no idea.
Did you do much in between?
No, he just sort of stewed.
Mm.
No,
bided his time.
Yeah. Mm. No. He
lay low for 12
years.
I think
he was in Italy with his mate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense. Working on his refining his craft. But no, he literally did virtually nothing in between How I Met Your Mother and Doogie Howser.
Literally?
Very little. Very little, but apart from
he's in stasis.
He's kind of like
he is well known for it now.
Yeah.
But that How I Met Your Mother revived his career.
Hardwood. No, that's basketball. What do they call it?
Board treader.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. He was in the NBA for a little.
He was in Harold and Kumar as himself.
Yeah.
he's in Starship Troopers. That's right.
Oh yeah.
That took up about 12 years.
Huh?
That took up about
12
years.
Yeah, it's a long shoot. Yeah. A lot of delays.
Him and Casper Van Dien. Denise Richards, you know, the thespians of the 90s.
He was in an episode of The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah.
He was in an episode of Captain Planet.
Homer in a TV movie. No, played Bart in a TV movie. Oh. That makes more sense.
Yep.
What?
There was a live-action
version of The Simpsons?
No. In the episode where Bart was in the mob and he was on trial, where he was like the fall guy.
Oh, right. Yeah. Sorry, Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
He was in an episode of... Hey, so popped up in a lot of shows that we've done. Roseanne as himself. Sorry, as Dr. Doogie Howser. He was in an episode of Quantum Leap.
Whoa. Nice.
As Doogie Howser?
What a catalogue.
As Mike Hammond.
Uh-huh. Sorry, Morgan. I just want to circle back to how much it would have blown your mind if there was a live action version of The Simpsons that you'd never heard of.
Oh, yeah. Well, I thought it was for a second. I'm like, what the hell?
I think he's just sort of gone through our back catalogue of podcasts and has inserted himself into those shows.
Oh, really?
This is like one of those flashbacks in a terrible TV show where it goes back and realizes this one guy was in all the background of every moment in their lives.
So Neil Patrick Harris has been in our lives for the duration of this show and we did, well, this series.
I mean, you guys were born in 89?
89, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, yep. That's when Doogie Howser came around. Out.
Yep.
Holy hell.
Maybe he delivered you in the mall.
He might have.
This world.
It's possible.
I could have been the baby in the mall. side note. Did you know that there was a Madagascar spin-off TV show?
No.
Called The Penguins of Madagascar? Anyway,
that was... I did, actually.
That's weird.
MPH directed it?
Yes. And he also starred as Dr. Blowhole. That's right. Real. That's a bit of a swipe as well, I would have thought. there we go. Yeah, and he's done a lot of theatre. He's in all the classics. Rent.
You're going to list all the classics. Mate,
look,
he's in Cats. He might have been in Cats.
They're the two classics.
Yeah. Mm. Half uncredited role in Cats. Anyway.
Doogie Howser.
So, where were we? That's all I knew is that it was like the launching pad for his career.
All you knew is what you just read right now.
Yeah. Going through his back catalogue. Mm. Yeah, but like I knew that he was one of those... It's like how I was first introduced to Jason Bateman in Arrested Development. But everyone was like, oh yeah, he was a Teen Wolf
Teen
guy.
Wolf, yeah.
Child actor, done nothing, then come back.
Yeah, it's
later.
Like Ethan Hawke was a child actor, but I only really know him as like an adult man.
Yeah.
You've ever seen Dead Poets Society?
No, I haven't.
Oh.
Did he? What did he child act in? That?
Dead Poets Society. He's like the main kid in
Yeah.
And there's a few before that as well. It's like
I mean, he's not like movies. Young, young. Yeah, he's like 16, 17.
Yeah, I think his first movie was maybe 13 or 14.
There's very few. I'd like to see
The Purge was when he was 13.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. How old is he now?
17?
11.
Wow.
Did he play the boy in Boyhood?
Yeah. Yeah. He had to age backwards because they were filming it the other way around.
So which is a hell of a director.
Very dedicated method actor. Yeah.
Mm. So really gets the most out of his actors.
Was Benjamin Button like a documentary on his life?
Yes.
Mm. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I would like to see the scale of childhood actors who started when they were like very young and see who was the most successful one that started at like very young age, like Macaulay Culkin style, so at like 8 or 9.
Mm. Who didn't lose their mind?
Yeah.
How's Drew Barrymore go?
Haley Joel Osment. Didn't lose his mind.
He's bobbed up in Silicon Valley, being kind of funny.
You wouldn't call him very...
No, he just kind of stepped out of the spotlight.
He was very successful for a very short period of time.
Yeah. I think Elijah Wood would be the top of the pile, would be the most successful of the crop.
Malcolm in the Middle.
Frankie
Muniz.
Oh, but he doesn't
a
really.
Lot.
Yeah. Oh, he became an F1 driver or something like that.
He was making like $250,000 an episode or something. He was like on Friends money.
But that's just like from like one thing. It's not like he went on to have like a super successful.
Tony Banks. Big Fat Liar.
Big Fat Liar
with Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think. Well, then, which child actor has had the most enduring career?
I'd say it's Elijah Wood.
I reckon it's Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman.
No, but Bateman was quiet for a long stretch. Like, he didn't do... Like, Elijah Wood was in stuff from when he was, like, 8 to... He's still in things. Like,
Bateman's been in a lot of stuff.
Bateman's probably more successful currently, but...
Yeah, Elijah Wood's always been... What are we doing? Who was successful...
Who was in Lord of the Rings?
In the 90s. Who was in Lord of the Rings?
No, I'm saying...
Sean Astin.
Elijah Wood.
No, yeah. I'm saying...
Viggo Mortensen was in, like, some plays for his primary school.
Yeah. I'm saying who's probably the most successful, who's had the steadiest run.
Bateman.
I think Bateman. No, Elijah Wood's got to be steadier than that, surely.
Mm. Well, what's Elijah Wood done?
Bateman's huge.
Lord of the Rings.
But what was he famous for as a kid?
Deep Impact.
The Good Son.
Yeah,
the Macaulay Culkin. We brought that up before.
Team Bateman.
Definitely. Yeah, Team Bateman.
Okay.
No. Team Wood.
Yeah, Team Wood.
You're looking at his career through Lord of the Rings tinted goggles.
I am not looking you're looking through wolf tinted goggles.
You're putting him up on a pedestal.
You're looking through the fur of his hands.
They have much better vision than human
morgues. Exactly. Oh, get out of here. It's all black and white. It's all sense of smell.
You're putting him up on a pedestal.
Oh, Jesus.
Not Elijah Wood, though.
All right, that's
it. He's got great eyesight.
Okay.
Saw that meteor coming from a mile away. More than a mile.
A mile is not a long distance.
You can see a mile.
Okay, we should probably get back to the show. So Doogie Howser, MD. Let's look at episode one, and then we'll get back to Elijah Wood and how successful his career has been.
Dr. Douglas Doogie Howser takes the test to get his driver's license and shows off his credentials by helping the victim of a car accident.
Is he still breathing?
Yeah.
Good. Now go get me something I can use for a leg brace.
Away from the medical profession, he goes to a school dance and works up the courage to kiss a girl for the first time.
I'm really glad you came to the dance with me, Douglas. I'm glad you asked me.
But not all of his firsts as a teenager are as positive as he loses his first patient, a six-year-old boy with a failing heart.
As you get older, you learn to handle it.
I don't want to handle it.
If you're going to be a doctor, you'll have to.
Why? Why can't I just be a normal kid?
The episode ends with him typing out in his diary that life will never be the same again.
This episode is incredibly problematic.
Oh,
normally we find it goes the other way around, where it goes off the rails
later.
Later on. But this one started off the
this
rails.
This started
absolutely.
Off the rails.
Are you saying that there are plot holes in a show about a 16-year-old surgeon?
Not plot holes.
There are plot holes.
Yeah. I mean, there are,
of course. But
giant gaping chasm.
Morally,
just like, plot holes.
Okay, yeah. Different time, the 80s. Yeah. Different time.
Where you could trick a 16-year-old,
15-year-old.
Boy into that you were gonna him fellatio,
yeah,
in front of all of your colleagues.
It might make sense for our respective fantasies to be quenched.
I was 100% sure that was gonna be a dream. Like, it was the classic when it's his birthday, so the nurse lures him into a dark room, and
I just think we need to give
his co-worker, the nurse.
Give us some context.
We need a bit of context because people wouldn't have watched it. But basically, what happens is that Doogie's talking to one of the nurses, and then she sort of like starts hitting on him, and then takes him to the dark room, pushes him against the wall, pulls his pants down.
At one point, she says,
"I like younger men, Doogie."
He's a child.
Yeah.
Literally just 10, 16.
It's incredibly rapey, the whole scene.
And it's in one of those
operating theaters.
But yeah, they've got the viewing area up the top.
That scene is out of control.
It would be like the classic moment where everyone yells surprise and he like sits up out of breath in bed, just like, oh God, what a bad dream. But no, that actually happened. Yeah. Maybe hospital co-workers
tried to rape him.
Maybe they just cut it for time. The dream wake up was too quick.
We
shaved those 3 seconds off.
That would scar him.
I can't believe that anyone would have agreed to that. I think that's a great idea. Hey, let's humiliate this 16-year-old
boy. 20 people in on it.
Yeah, it's insanity.
And then she's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Sometimes I forget that you're just a kid."
Yeah,
but
except that I just mentioned it to you,
and this is why we did this whole prank.
But in their defense, how much would you be pissed off if there was like, in your place of work, there was just like some sort of 15-year-old prodigy who was like higher up in the corporate ladder or whatever than you, bossing you around.
Telling you what to do.
How can you fucking get back at this kid?
With all due respect to my learned colleague here, I have spent more years fixing hearts than he has been alive.
Henry?
And I do not need some 16-year-old snot-nosed genius telling me how to do my job.
I'm gonna rape him.
Destroy his life.
I'm gonna ask someone to rape him for me. It was the guy clearly.
It's way more subtle that way.
Yeah, I'll get one of the nurses to do it. But you'd be annoyed. Like you and they this comes up a few times in the episode where plenty of times where this guy's like, do I have to actually listen to this kid or can I just do my job?
There is a certain amount of like experience whereby like you could read all of the textbooks.
Yeah.
But that's not going to get you the same experience as being a doctor.
Got, like, the emotional intelligence of a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And surely it wouldn't matter how, it wouldn't matter how book smart he is. There are reasons why you don't hire a 16-year-old as a doctor.
And there are,
even if you're the best, like, theoretical doctor in the world.
There are, like, huge gaps in his emotional maturity well. But of, like, what they display on screen. Because it's like, oh, he's, like, you know, getting into a verbal argument with his dad. Mm. But then, being able to talk to a six-year-old boy with a failing heart about being afraid about dying. Like, no 16-year-old is, I don't think, able to do that.
Like, just after he's having a water pistol fight with, like, a couple of the other kid patients.
That's a weird moment as well.
Yeah. I think that's like,
it's really creepy. That
They wanted to sort of just sort of
point out that he's a kid still.
Point out that he's a kid.
Yeah. He still likes to have fun.
Still, it's a real flash, that whole scene, and then he's gone. I do want to quickly talk about Vinny, who apparently was actually 6 years older than he's 6 years older than MPH.
What is his best friend?
So he's like 20 something in the first
episode. So yeah, in that last episode, I think he's 26 or 25 years old. She doesn't look it at all.
What, and in the first episode, he's 19?
Yeah, apparently. Wait, no, in the first episode, he's 22.
The character?
What?
Yeah, he's actually 22.
He looks 15.
Yeah.
Wait, the kid that plays him?
Yeah, the guy who plays him. Yeah.
But he's meant to be a kid.
You are.
He's meant to be the same as just Doogie Howser, yeah.
He's found the fountain of youth and just taken too much.
Not now, I'll tell you that much.
OD'd.
Yeah, the years have not been kind to him. But
he used up all his good years early.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, God, but is that the way I'm going?
You better believe it. Your 40s are not going to be kind. He's just a sexual deviant, that kid.
He comes in, he's like bragging about how he's going to get sex.
Yeah.
Janine Stewart gives. Get out. Sex, Doogie, tomorrow night after the dance. Wampa wampa.
Sure, Vinny.
Hey, you're just jealous, pencil neck, because I'm going to get sex and you never even kissed a girl.
Just the way he's talking about it. Yeah, that's like, how. That's you don't know what sex is.
Yeah, that's how kids say it, though.
It's weird that he's using it as like a verb or like a noun or something. Something's wrong about the way he's using it.
Sex,
Doogie. Meanwhile, Doogie's using all the medical terms for like earlobes and just incredibly creepy.
And he's like, women love having their... First of all, he's like, women love being sniffed.
Yeah, that line was the worst.
I'm going to tell her hair smells great. Then I'm going to lean in and sniff her shampoo. Girls love getting sniffed.
That's fucked.
Weird thing to say.
Second, it's like, I'm going to lick her earlobe to see if she wants to kiss me.
First, she sniff her.
I'm not...
No, first you lean in real close, the order. Sniff her shampoo, and then you lick her earlobe.
Yeah.
And then,
I mean,
gravy.
It worked.
Oh, man.
I was not expecting it to work.
Yeah, I was 100% sure she'd be like, "Ooh, what are you doing?"
The fuck?
But no, apparently, loudly sniffing and then awkwardly licking a girl's earlobe.
Just lean on the fact that you're like a successful doctor already.
Yeah,
let's go home in my Ferrari because I'm making like
my dad's Ferrari.
I'm making 200k a year at 16.
Why is he asking to borrow his dad's car? He could like pretty much he could just afford his own car.
Is he allowed to go?
Got some deal like. With child actors, where like if you're under 18,
withheld income.
But that's not how kids' jobs work.
No.
Is he allowed to?
I mean, it's not how doctors work. Let's be honest.
He's got to pay them what they're worth. Is he allowed to go to the school dance?
I guess.
Yeah, because he doesn't go to school.
No, he's graduated.
Maybe he does. But like, it's like maybe he goes there sometimes just to like for social
to run a class.
Yeah, it's a med school. Because he'd have to have interactions with kids his own age. Like he would have read some studies about
in a real
detached way where he's like,
oh, I've like
this is how children feel emotion. Hello, so I can imitate that.
He's aware, my friend.
He's aware of what he needs to sort of. He's aware of what he needs to do in terms of development. So he's like, I've got to stay around kids because I've read. But anyway, if we get too deep into poking holes in the plot, then we're just gonna.
Yeah, we're going to
go off the rails.
Yeah.
Paper thin as it is.
Well, we've already gone off the rails.
Would you guys let a 14-year-old doctor take care of you?
Definitely not.
If he was that good,
you
then
would.
Still no.
If I could verify that he was that, you know.
Or maybe the hospital's just playing like an actual long-term prank on him in terms of like, he's not qualified at all. He's got no
he can't
idea
do
what
anything.
He's doing.
He's just speaking gibberish.
They think it's a real hoot what he's doing. Like they're letting him argue and stuff like that. It's just
They just give him all the patients that are going to die anyway.
It's one big make-a-wish thing for them.
You know, when I was a little kid, I was sick too. I had a disease called acute leukemia.
It's just like a fever dream of him when he's got leukemia and he's six. And he's imagining himself as a doctor when really he died. He succumbed to the leukemia.
Well, that went a little bit darker than where I was going, but okay. this first episode as well, it's not very well made or directed. It's quite, a lot of the scenes are quite disjointed and the music seems
quite
to end.
Stilted.
Yeah, it is. And the music seems to end weirdly. There's a moment like in the scene after that little boy dies and Doogie's at home and his dad comes in to sort of console him. There's music playing, but it stops and like 3 or 4 seconds goes by and then his dad walks in.
mother told me what happened.
And then it kind of stops. He stops for a second and then starts talking. It's like, did MBH direct that scene? Or like, what's going on? It's so weird and just like...
Yeah, he wrote and directed the whole show.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It sort of hit a weird spot between like comedy and... I don't know. It's sort of like I thought it was going to be like full comedy.
Yeah,
kind of like almost full comedy.
I was expecting canned laughter.
It did take itself much more seriously than I thought it would.
Yeah,
like it actually tried to make you believe that a 16-year-old could become a doctor.
Yeah, yeah. They even threw in the moment of when he found out that the boy died. He did the like whole punching the locker in the change room. Yeah. Like, damn it, we lost him.
We worked on him for over an hour.
Like 50-year-old guys, like, I'm sorry, doctor.
Did the doctors hang out in the change
room? It wasn't
in
your patient.
Like they're some sort of sports team.
Yeah.
Like after they've taken a loss, they go to the change room.
Hit the showers.
Hit the showers, yeah. Mm. Is that how it works? Maybe he did actually write this.
Yeah. If if you stuff up in surgery, the coach makes you run some laps.
Right. They're reading the script. It's like interior day. Doogie and his colleague are in the change room after losing a patient.
Enter coach.
Enter coach. Yeah, it gives the
spray
condolence speech.
Chief of medicine, we should say. And we should also mention the Neil Flynn cameo in the opening scene, which he looks so different. He doesn't look different because if you just kind of, he's got the longer hair and the mustache, that's the only change, but he still looks like the janitor.
Yeah.
He doesn't have like his vocal quality isn't quite the same as well.
Get your hands off me.
You want to go to jail?
No, you'll be going to jail for criminal negligence.
Like it doesn't really sound like how he sounds now.
No.
Or even how he sounded in early edition.
It's like it's like
10 years later.
13 years pre-Scrubs.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 7 years before early edition, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay.
He's a hard-working actor. He's been going for a long time.
How much are you getting paid for that? You got to work hard.
He loves playing a cop.
He does.
Yeah.
In The Fugitive.
Kimball. Tell him I'll kill you. So he's got range. You can play a janitor and a police officer.
As long as he's in like a blue jumpsuit. He's sweet.
Well, I reckon that probably wraps us for the first episode. Let's roll into the finale.
In the final episode, Doogie takes acting lessons with best friend Vinny, quickly discovering that his entire identity is built around being a child genius.
I was lucky, Vin. The leukemia went away. But what didn't go away was this feeling that I had to hurry up and do everything now.
Through a number of breakthroughs, he realizes that he needs to find himself. And what better way than quitting the medical profession and traveling to Italy with Vinny?
Rome! Yes!
Oh, I love Rome. I could spend a year there.
I just might.
Catherine, he's made a well-thought-out decision. Don't look back, son. You've earned this.
And they fly off into the sunset, where a whole new world awaits.
What must it be like to be you?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I really enjoyed the opening sequence was quite funny. But the story itself, like, it's good how I kind of like that. This is one of those ones where the finale of the show actually rounds it out quite well, where it's like, I've learnt this time to be a doctor. Now it's time to actually kind of, he's 19.
We should have said before that it must be a trope where they end every episode with him writing in the diary terrible computer. And he says, I've spent 19 years of my life learning to be Doogie Howser MD. Now it's time to
learn how to be Doogie.
Maybe change your name. Maybe change your nickname.
Just Doug. Doug's fine. Doug.
But I think it's the fitting way to end that show.
Does he need the pet name that your parents give you when you're like 4 years old? Does he need to carry that all the way through?
Really? Especially when couldn't
he just been Doug Howser?
Yeah.
Douglas Howser?
Mm. Yeah, Dr. Howser.
Yeah.
You don't hear that in either episodes.
Also, who's taken a laptop on vacation in 1993?
Bulk cash.
Yeah.
Buying bulk laptops.
Who's paying for giant. A first class ticket.
Have you seen this sweet-ass loft apartment that they live in
That's true. That was a sweet apartment.
A couple of 19-year-olds are just...
Yeah. Screenwriter, 19-year-old buddy
Vinny. Neck deep in cash.
Yeah. Vinny was such like... He was just playing like a 65-year-old Italian man.
Mm.
They
really dialed it up.
Oh, do they ever? They dial it up to like.
Surprised they didn't have a cigar
on the plane.
Yeah.
Even what did we get to Italy, Doogie? I know people.
There's guys like me on every corner.
I'm not gonna take that crap in Italy, Hauser. I got people there.
You just recast him with John Travolta; it'll be fine.
They're about the same age.
Jeez, they are roughly.
I'm surprised they didn't sort of tackle that subject earlier of like the missed childhood and, you know, all this. He's like, what does he really want? Like the first, it seems like the first time he grapples with the fact that he's been thrust into the adult world way too early is when he's on stage and the acting teacher's like giving him a lesson about where to draw inspiration from.
Yeah, yeah.
Like surely this came up episode two.
What does childhood mean to you, Doogie?
It means being a kid.
What does that mean to you?
It means not, I don't know, it means not having to worry about anything.
So the minute you start to worry, your childhood's over.
Yeah, it just slips away.
Grab it back.
Well, everyone around him just accepted the fact that a 16-year-old was a doctor and that's a completely normal thing for a child to do.
Mm. He's all grown up.
His parents must be insane. Can you imagine how desperate you must be for your child to succeed, to push them to become a working doctor? Not just like go through school quickly and like, you know, study a little bit above your age, but like, all right. You're 16 now. You can go and...
You can stand on your own 2 feet.
Yeah.
Go join the medical profession. Go work in a hospital.
If you had a child who was super, super smart, what direction would you push them in?
I'd probably start them drinking real young to knock a few brain cells out and just normal...
Give them a normalize chance.
Them, yeah. Just balance them.
Give them a better nickname.
Don't get too far ahead of yourself.
You're a good father.
Yeah.
I can see it already.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that.
I'm trying to think of other careers that it takes a long time to become whatever that thing is.
Pilot?
Pilot, lawyer. Very clear what you would do, Aaron.
Lawyer?
You would push him into becoming an athlete.
Of course.
Because that's what I would do as well.
Style athlete that like works out all the like geometry of
everything
works. The opponents.
Just
just throw him into just like men's football at age 11.
You just feed him anabolic steroids, get him real jacked up.
I don't think you need a really smart kid to do this.
I was about to say more.
I want a physically gifted kid.
I don't think academic genius translates to like
sporting prowess.
Sporting ability.
I don't care about that. I'm just talking about my dream. I want my
Matt
dream.
Morgan's just talking about his dream kid.
You can keep your questions, Scott. I'm going to bring in my own.
Exactly. What are we talking about? Why are we even here?
I really enjoyed the joke where Vinny was trying to write his other script and the NPH comes in and is like, oh, how's the script coming? He's like,
are you kidding? With an oven this filthy?
I laughed out loud. It was
like acknowledging the fact that he's cleaned literally everything.
Classic writer's block scene where he's just losing his mind inside anything to avoid writing.
Looking like a meth addict.
Well, the oven cleaner's pretty pretty potent. I don't think he cracked a window. It's frying his brain. Maybe Doogie needs to inhale some of those fumes. Yeah, maybe he could have just sniffed paint. I don't know. Something like that.
You're a smart kid. Just huff paint.
Yeah.
So, is he dating... He's dating one of the nurses, right?
Yes.
Not afraid to just kiss a random woman, though.
I was going to bring this up.
Boy, you're gorgeous. I am happy tonight. Are you happy tonight?
Kind of.
You want a kiss?
Okay.
It's quite strange.
Yeah, it's just like an early 90s thing of like, it doesn't really count as
when he finally nails that acting scene, he's all like really pumped up and he's kind of realized what he should be doing. Yeah. And runs out onto the street and bumps into a woman and he's like, I'm having a good day. You having a good day? Let's kiss.
And then
it was strange.
It's kind of weird.
Vinny knows that he's got a girlfriend, but does not seem...
No, they could have an agreement.
Yeah, it doesn't be fine. It doesn't matter when you're having a good day.
Vinny and Doogie like have an agreement,
or Doogie and his partner?
What do you think? Vinny's batting average is higher than Doogie's?
Vinny's not going to rat though. Vinny doesn't seem like the kind of friend that would rat on him for maybe the nurse thing's like maybe they're only a couple of months in and you know he's maybe encouraging Doogie to live it up a little. You're only 19, Doogie. You don't need to settle down. So maybe Vinny just kind of looks the other way when those things happen.
He's about to go to Italy.
Yeah, exactly.
Kissing lots of people on the street.
Heaps of
people. That's all they do. It's a real thing to do.
Yeah. I think that probably wraps us up for Douglas Hauser, MD.
MD.
We should maybe jump over to reboots. Scott.
All right.
Kick us off.
I'd love to jump in. So I'm going to pick this up where we left off. End of season 4. We're coming in for season 5. Doogie and Vinny head to Rome. They're going to go hang out. Just sort of spend the first couple of days, you know, just...
Eat some pie.
Yeah. Is that what you do in Rome?
Kiss some women.
Pies and pizza. Pizza pie.
Oh, pizza pie. Yeah.
As if you're
local.
As if Vinny's going to call it pizza.
Yeah. No chance.
The ultimate Italian American.
Get some czar.
So, they're just going to spend the first couple of days just sort of hanging out, maybe go to a couple of bars, have a bit of fun, sort of get into the nightlife scene.
Maybe go on a Kentucky tour or two.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Why do you keep inserting things into my room?
I don't know, because I thought we co-wrote this.
He wants a credit.
She's trying to, angling for a credit. And then so they kind of get sucked into the night lifestyle. Yeah. Sort of go around to a couple of different countries, sort of turn this thing into a bit of a Kentucky tour. You can get that writing credit.
Okay.
All right. Sort of hit up a couple of different places, you know, go to Germany. Maybe go to Amsterdam. And, you know, they get into some nefarious stuff. Doogie sort of sees a lot of people taking all these different pills, doesn't know what's in them. The doctor in him sort of like tugs at him, like, I can't let people just take just random stuff. It's just, you know, like cut with laundry detergent, whatever. So this is Doogie Howser getting into the business of getting medical grade pharmaceuticals and selling them off to the nightclub scene in what will be Doogie Howser's MD. Which is also...
Doogie Howser MDMA?
That's correct. Which is also going to double as a drugstore on the dark web. I don't know how long this music goes for, so we're just going to have to go through it. Yeah, this so is loud.
So you can Boogie Howser all night?
Yeah, it's going to...
Doogie
gonna
Nights. Going all night.
Doogie, like Doogie
Nights. We are...
Can we cut the music?
That's going to go on forever.
Does that finish?
I mean,
it can be turned off.
But it doesn't seem to break easily. Oh, wow, this is still going.
It says hardware can't be connected. I promise it doesn't go for more than another 20 seconds.
Oh, good. Fine. We'll just fight through.
We'll write it out. I'm having a great time.
Yeah. Oh, there, and it looks like it's fading out now.
I thought, okay, because there's a few.
Can we start that again?
Absolutely.
Doogie Howser Breaking Bad in Europe could go a few different ways. Because the other thing could be like they could go to Russia and just start stealing people's kidneys.
This is true.
Because I imagine,
the dark web is a wonderful place.
Be pretty easy to persuade people to look the other way in Russia.
He's not a surgeon, though. I mean, but I guess he would know
he'd be able to remove a kidney.
Yeah.
He'd be better at it
than a pinch.
Yeah, in a pinch. In a pinch, yeah.
Mm. All right. Nice. Mm. Doogie Howser, MD.
Doogie
Howser's MD.
Nice.
I like coming up with names for drugstores on the dark web.
It's a good skill
of
yours.
Bit of a pastime of mine.
Bit of a passion project of yours.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wait till I open up Richie Benzo's. Like Richie Benno.
Honoring the late great.
Mm. Mm. What a way to honor the man.
a pun name for a dark web drugstore.
Pressing his face into pills of ecstasy.
That's Richie Benno's legacy.
The special he can get 2 for $22.
Is that any better or worse than like a bunch of drunk idiots dressing up as him at cricket games?
God, you're Jesus. Yeah.
If I had a choice of how I'd be remembered by the general public, I'd be much rather people consume pills with my face on it.
I think the good thing is he doesn't have to choose. It can be both.
Yeah.
It's win-win when you're Richie Benno.
All right, I'm going to jump in with a quick reboot. It's kind of a crossover prequel where it's a young British child who's he's a doctor as well. He's not quite as chipper as Doogie Howser, though. He's a bit more crotchety, walks around with a bit of a limp, got some painkillers. He's got to manage just an old injury he's had for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's Doogie House. very, very young Hugh Laurie.
Okay. 16-year-old that's already sort of like playing the jaded doctor.
Yeah.
I like that. I'd like that a lot more than this. The prescription pill problem.
Yeah. Maybe you can get on the Richie Benzos.
Mm.
I don't have one for this, I'm afraid.
Nor do I.
So it's a bit
I guess that's it.
I guess that concludes.
I guess Scott wins because he had a musical number.
Yeah, that is hard to top.
It was a little bit too loud, though.
It was. Yeah. It went for a lot longer. It really feels like you only planned half of that.
Yeah.
You planned most of it, but that was an unexpected wrinkle in the plan.
He composed a 3-minute deep house song track, and ran out of material about a minute into it.
Well, there, Scott. Okay, well, I did enjoy that though. So
I'm glad
you win.
Congratulations. I can't even lower the volume for the listeners because then this part's going to become irrelevant. So I apologize.
Can you turn it up for the listeners?
I could definitely turn it up for the listeners.
So you can't turn it down, but you can definitely dial it up. Okay, good.
Yeah, I think we'll also get it to maybe play us out as well.
I think we should. I like that.
Mm.
Aaron.
You after a list?
I am after a list. Sorry, I didn't really give you a good throw there.
No, that's all right.
I'm after this list. Thank you, Aaron.
I know that list. All right, well, this list is a bit of a throwback to a recent episode. We've got another list from H.A. Gonzalez-59467.
Oh, our boy.
Prolific. Our boy, yes.
We've got to keep a tab of the list writers that we sort of delve back into, because I reckon there's been another one that's...
Yeah, another double. Couple. Yeah, I would like to see how that guy went with his whole Leo
Donatio Capro.
Donatio. I was going to say. Leo Donatio.
Leo Donatio.
Yeah, that list is going. Anyway, this list is casting for Sonic's voice in Sonic the Hedgehog 2019 movie.
Which has already been. Gig?
Who knows? It could be on here. There's 730 people on here.
What is this guy's deal?
I can tell you, MPH is somewhere in
130
here.
Less than Knuckles.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess he had a clearer, narrowed it down.
He had a clearer vision.
He wrote the movie with this person in mind for the part.
But he's also willing to consider the other 729.
So, we've got, a pretty broad range. Andrew Garfield, Tobey Maguire, Chris Pratt in it again. He could play either Sonic or Knuckles.
He's got it in him.
He's got range.
Johnny Depp, Justin Timberlake, Ben Stiller, Mike Myers again.
I feel like whoever he didn't...
Who were the rough 100 that got... That you felt didn't have the range?
To do both roles.
To be honest, it might be the cast of The Walking Dead. Most of them don't seem suitable for Sonic, but they can be for Knuckles. Like Louis C.K.
Yeah, I could see him in Great Sonic. What?
Sonic got to be like a real high energy sort
I would have thought so. But
Chris Pratt, I could imagine as Sonic.
Yeah.
He played the Lego dude.
Yeah. Everything is awesome.
Oh, did he?
That was a great movie.
Yeah, I didn't even realize.
I do have one sort of outstanding candidate here and one very noticeable absentee. Jason Bateman is on this list, Elijah Wood didn't make the cut.
I
knew it.
He takes good films. Yeah. Sonic's not going to be
he's
a good film.
He's not getting any offers these history days. Elijah's will be, out. History Bateman's in.
No offers from random users
from
on IMDb.
H.H. Gonzalez.
History will be on my side. I guarantee you that.
Well, that's when you know you're truly out when you're not even getting offers from...
He might have been number 731, not in the top 730.
Mm. We'll still... Mm. Get him to come and read.
But yeah. He's not getting the part.
Oh, you're just doing that to spite me.
It's a pity read.
Pity read.
His agent called it in a favour. We owed him one. So we'll... Yeah, right. No. All right, Elijah. Give us your best Sonic.
What is your best? Give me your best
what
Sonic.
Noise? I never played it. What noise?
It doesn't
it?
Make
I
a noise.
No, who
has... None of them have voices. It's all just text down the bottom.
Mm. Who played... Who had a Sega? Sonic
like, games. Later ones.
Maybe later.
I played... Yeah, I had a, later ones. I had a... Mega Drive?
Like Sonic.
Me too.
Sonic and Mario Winter Olympics.
Oh, yeah. I can't say.
No, he just goes...
Yeah, it starts
spinning
and
when he does the
thing. Gets the rings.
That's it. Ding, 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 ding. I could do it. Yeah. I could play Sonic.
You've got better range than Elijah Wood.
Mm.
You got Bateman kind of range.
All right, I've swapped sides. I'm on Team Bateman.
Oh, come on. You are
Elijah Wood Island. Stranded.
I'm dying on this island. I'm dying on this hill. Mm. Me, Elijah Wood, and Ron Livingston.
Well, the corpse of Ron Livingston, because you ran out of food pretty quickly. There's no way you're going
to
eat Elijah.
to eat Ron Livingston.
And it's like he's replaceable. You got another one. Gosh, I can just... Step into his role.
That's a good point. I like to watch that show. Just me, Ron Livingston, Elijah Wood, just living on an island.
Slowly dying of starvation.
Maybe just like you could, you know, you guys could fly around in your rich helicopter with Kyle Chandler and Jason Bateman and drop us food packages every now and again.
Our leftovers.
We'd think about it.
Scraps. That's all right. Elijah's Academy Award will keep us warm.
You'll burn that the first day.
What? Did he get to keep the best picture for...
I don't know. He's had a very...
Is that how that works?
He's had a very decorated career, so he's probably got some... He's got some stuff. If not...
Deep Impact win one?
Well, Fisher Stevens won an Academy Award, so I'm pretty sure that Ron Livingston gets all Fisher Stevens
did
stuff.
He really?
Yeah, he did.
What?
Yeah, he did. I think he won. He was one of the producers of Black Whale, I think.
Okay, man.
Yeah. So you're saying Ron Livingston has dibs on...
By default, yeah.
That's fair.
In the early edition closed down, Ron Livingston got Kyle Chandler's stuff.
I mean, we don't want to go back to an old episode, but Kyle Chandler on Oscar nominated movies alone, he's like blitzing Ron Livingston.
Well, name one.
Manchester by the Sea. He was in
that was Ron Livingston was in that.
Office Space. We're rehashing old material.
We are yeah, but it still works, so it's okay. But let's go back to Doogie Howser because we're obviously paying tribute to that now.
Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, clearly. What were your final thoughts on Doogie Howser, Jeremy? You specifically?
I preferred the spin-off, How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, kind of had a bit of a. I could see Barney coming from Doogie in that first episode, the sniffing and the licking.
And the confidence really and stuff. If you imagine how confident you would be in like your mid-30s if you were a qualified physician at 14.
Yeah,
that was probably that licking the earlobe was probably the moment he needed to get rejected, and then because he didn't, he turned into the sociopath that is Barney Stinson.
Yeah,
do they make references to Doogie Howser in How I Met Your Mother? There's got to be one.
I feel like they would have.
There'd be at least one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not going to watch anymore if that's what you're asking.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. Scott Aaron. Same question. Same question.
All right.
But you have to answer at the same time.
Answer at the same time. I think that
I will.
It is a show that isn't like any other shows.
I feel like that went as well as it possibly could have.
We kept eye contact the whole time. I think that was all right.
Yeah.
It was an interesting format, and I don't think I've ever watched a show like it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't good.
Interesting, it doesn't always equal good. Yeah. It can sometimes equal... Yeah.
But maybe they're paving the way for something else, you know?
It's what happens when, like, a really half-baked idea becomes its own TV four show. You've got to stretch out for four seasons. Yeah.
I mean,
imagine if a kid was a doctor. Oh, yeah. Man, that's crazy.
What? That's
like, it's like if we made one of our reboots.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
It's essentially, that's the genesis of...
That's a great description.
That's the genesis of Step Brothers. That was based on Adam McKay had an idea where he thought it'd be funny if two grown men in their 40s slept in bunk beds. And that's how the movie came to be, essentially.
But that's a much better execution of a really half-baked idea than Doogie.
Well, that's true. But in Doogie Howser's defense, not that I plan on watching any more of it, that it clearly had advanced considerably by the time it had ended. So it was probably the right time to end.
I reckon there could have been some real serious drama in there, though. In the middle. Like, what if Doogie fell in love with... an older woman, but then he killed her on the operating table or something like that.
Accidentally read the synopsis of episode 3, I think it was. Was it Wanda, the girl that he licked the earlobe of in the first episode? Apparently in episode 3
Meninge Cockle.
He's got to give her a pelvic exam.
Are you serious?
What?
Yeah.
That's not real.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
What?
Oh my god. Okay. I take back what I said. We are definitely watching this.
This is going to get weird.
What?
Yeah, I don't know how they would
He just
weird. Oh boy. Yeah.
As we said, it's very problematic a 16-year-old being a medical doctor.
Right. Doogie performs an operation in violation of hospital policy. It also causes tension between him and Wanda since he had to do a pelvic exam before diagnosing her with appendicitis. I don't think he had to.
No.
He chose to.
I think this is what happens when you let a 16-year-old loose in.
Oh, boy. Okay. Can we wrap this up so we can check that out?
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, look, I think it's fair to say that we probably will be watching a little bit more of Doogie Howser just to see how that plays out, because that's weird as hell.
Troublesome, to say the least.
Aaron, where can people find us online?
Online at our website, theincompleteseries.com. Hit us up with some feedback, a reboot idea, or a suggestion. Love to hear that.
I'm just going
to
resubmerge us just for a little bit.
Cool. Oh, yeah. Hit up our dark web store, Doogie Howser's MD. Yeah.
Or our sister store,
it's really
Richie
loud
Benzo.
In this club.
Richie Benzo.
Yeah.
But no, this has been fun. So thank you, Jez.
Thank you, Morgan.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you, Morgan.
And Scott, thank you for this.
I'll see you later.